Good morning, family. It is so great to be with you this morning. If you can, just let me know that you can hear me. Just type something in the chat, say hello and good morning to each other. It is so great to be gathered together on this day, the Lord's Day. Even though I know we are not physically in one another's presence, I understand that the Lord is with you, even as the Lord is with me right now. We thank God so much for Him being omnipresent, able to be every place at the same time. He is not limited in time and dimension as I myself and you are limited in time and dimension, but the Lord is here. And He even said, where two and three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. So God, we thank You so very much for being present on today. He is a good God and a gracious God. Good morning, Jonathan. Who else is here? Just go ahead and say hi. Just write in the chat that you are here. There are two chats. There is an event chat, and then there is a stage chat. So go ahead into the stage chat and let everyone know that you are here. Greet your neighbor even now. During this time, I'm going to begin with our call to worship and to read Psalm 95. And I invite you to read along with me where you are, that you will go ahead and read. Good morning, Mom Pat. All right. Keep going in the chat. This is Psalm 95. It says, "Come, let's shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let's enter His presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to Him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in His hands, and the mountain peaks are His. The sea is His. He made it. His hands form the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in at Meribah, as on that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was disgusted with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They do not know My ways. So I swore My anger, they shall not enter in our rest." God, we pray that we are not among those who shall not enter Your rest. But today we give You the glory due Your name. God, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be in this place. We praise You, we worship You, we glorify You, we magnify You with our lives and with our words. God, we are not of a rebellious generation who seeks to deny that You alone are God, that You alone are our Lord. But Lord, we praise You today for who You are. We thank You so much, and we are grateful for You today, for Your mercies that are new every morning, for Your faithfulness, dear God, for Your grace toward us. We thank You for Your long suffering, dear God. We thank You so much because You are yet on the throne, and we acknowledge You today as the one, the true, the living God. There are many things that people may hold up as idols and false gods. They will shape them and craft them to have eyes, but they do not see us like You see us, dear God. They will give them ears, but they do not hear us like You hear us, God. They will give give them mouths, but they are dumb and cannot speak. But you are a God who speaks to his people. They will make them with hands, dear God, but they are able to do nothing. They carry their false gods, dear Lord, but you carry us. We thank you today. And we gather together to worship your name. We gather together to enter into your courts with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Because first, the gates come before the courts, dear God. And so as we're walking into the gates, we enter in with thanksgiving and we enter into your courts with praise. And we are thankful unto you, dear God. We bless your name. God, give God a praise just for who he is. And God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather on this day. We thank you for your hand upon us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us. It's so wonderful to be with you on this day. Family, this is time for our love assault. And the love assault is an opportunity where you can go and you can greet your neighbor. Now, it's only 2 minutes long. And the system is timed, so it'll cut you off and move you to somebody else to greet. So have a seed of a conversation to know when you may want to go back to a conversation. So we invite you to go to the networking section for a speed love assault. It will ask you to, you can press a button to say you want to connect. It'll ask you to turn on your camera and your microphone in order to share that. And you have an option to share that. And if it doesn't work, you can refresh your screen. If you're on an iPhone, then please use a Safari browser. If you are on some other technology, go ahead and use the Chrome browser if you have trouble. Refresh the page, log out, log in if it doesn't work. But go ahead and take this time. And we are going to come back here at 11:20. So just enjoy connecting with each other on today. We love you, family. We thank God so much for this time. Amen. Is so glad to be with you. Glad a chance you got to say hi to one another. Welcome, welcome. Go ahead and say that you're back. Rebecca, good to see you this morning. Kinsley, BK alum, is in the house. Kinsley, it is so wonderful to connect with you. Thank you for worshiping with us. Kinsley, was a very, very big part of BK in my life, and just thank God for his hand upon you and all that he is doing in your life, and just that he is a keeper of keepers, and God is so, so good. All right. Everybody's coming in. All right. You're back. All right. All right. So good. Jonathan is back. Okay. Good. That's right. Definitely a BOL throwback in the song. All right, I have a poll question for you, and then I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come and lead us in worship through song. If you haven't already been to the poll, the question is, how often do you think about eternity? How often do you think about eternity? On a sliding scale, one being never to five being always. How often do you think about eternity? One being never, and five, being always. Go ahead and take a moment and put in your score. And once you put it in, you can see what other people have chosen. The poll, if you're on a small screen, it may be at the bottom of your device. If you're in a larger monitor, it may be off and to the top right for polls. And then you can come back to the chat and come back to the stage chat. So thank you, Mark Henry, for voting or putting in your thought. So go ahead and do that and then come back to this space. And we'll ask Lady Rochelle to lead us forward this morning. Amen, amen.
Morning, all. Hannah will be popping down in a moment, so, you know, you may hear footsteps or elephant feet coming down the stairs. But we are here this morning to praise God, to worship Him together. And at this time, we're going to do so in song. And I'm going to read a couple of passages this morning just for us to keep in our minds as we sing. The first, sorry, strap issues. Whatever. The first is from Psalm 46, and I'm reading from verses 1 through 5, and then verses 10 and 11. Starting in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And skipping down to verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And as I was reading those verses this morning, I was struck by the placement of the Selah, which means to rest or to pause. And it happens in this psalm three times, actually. One of them we didn't read. The first is after the first portion that talks about God being our refuge and strength. And though the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters roar and are troubling, and though the mountains shake, Selah. Stop. Pause. Think about God being refuge and strength, even in that. And then the time that is part of what we read is after, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Pause. Take that in. So that's where I am this morning. I'm pausing. I'm taking in that God is my refuge, that He is my strength, that He is with me, that I can be still. I don't have to keep moving and going and doing. I can be still and know that He is God. And then in John chapter 12, and starting in verse 23, I'm just going to skip down here. And so this is a passage of scripture where Jesus is talking to His disciples about His death and the way that He will die. And He talks to them about a grain of wheat having to fall to the ground and die in order for it to produce much grain rather than remaining alone. And it's at the end of this passage in verse 23 where Jesus says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And so for me, with these two passages of scripture, the one that ends with God encouraging us to be still and know that He is God, that He will be exalted. And then in the passage from John 12, Jesus talking about Himself being lifted up and drawing all people to Himself. I see this as an opportunity for us this morning to not only rest in God's presence and to remember, to remind ourselves and to remind each other of who he is and that he is with us, but also for us to lift him up, that as he is lifted, he can draw us and others closer to him. And so we're going to sing a couple of songs this morning, simple songs, songs that you guys likely know, but just songs that will allow us to lift his name above everything else that may be trying to exalt themselves above him in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. Jonathan and I in the Love Assault were talking about flexibility and settling into a rhythm versus trying to adhere to a strict schedule. And so just settling in to rhythms of rest with God this morning, lifting him up and remembering who he is.
Ah.
not hold you down, for you are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. You are the risen King. Hosanna in the highest. Let our King be lifted up. 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 King be lifted up. Hosanna. Now there's another part of this song that I don't think we've sang in BK before, but it's a very simple part. It just says, be lifted higher, higher, higher. And so I'm going to sing it, and I invite you to sing it with me. We're just going to sing that refrain a couple of times and just really focus on Jesus at this time and envision him being lifted higher as we sing. Higher above midterms, higher than depression, higher than doubt, higher than COVID-19, higher than whatever it is that is threatening to raise itself above him in this moment, in this season, in your life. We're going to lift him high, for he is high and lifted up. He said he will be exalted. And so we're going to take some time and exalt him now.
Be lifted higher. Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, higher. Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, higher. Let our King be lifted up. Let our King be lifted up. Let our King be lifted up.
Thank you so much just for who you are. We thank you and praise you for being our King, for being our refuge and our strength, for being the one who is high above every other name. not only high in name, but high in power, high in access, high in ability to move on our behalf, to move according to your will. God, we love you, we honor you, we thank you, and we praise you for the opportunity and the blessing to be together in your presence this morning. Please have your way, speak to us through your word, and let your perfect will be done in, around, and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank Lady Rochelle so much for leading us through a time of song and worship. And God, we do lift your name on high, and we invite you into this place. And we thank you so much for being here with us on today. God, you are so good and so gracious. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, for it is due your name. BK family, once again, it's just wonderful to be with you on this morning. And thank those who are with us, maybe here for the first time, or alums who are visiting, and family, you who are here. We just praise God for your presence. And we are so very thankful for the opportunity to worship together today. We are going to begin in the book of Revelation chapter 21, beginning at the first verse through the fifth verse. And we are putting the last installment on our series, Second Wind, when we are running this race of faith. And in Hebrews 12, it calls us to endure this run. How do we actually endure? How do we get our second wind? Because sometimes, if I were to be honest with you this morning, running this race of faith can take the wind out of me. It can cause me to second guess, or to just get a wake-up call for what it really means to live unto God and to go through this fallen world. And I need a second wind to make it. And so when we think about this second wind, we think about what does it mean to run this race of faith with endurance. And today we put the last installment on this series. If you would, please turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning at the first verse through the fifth verse. And you will find these words. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Blood family, our theme for this morning is restore, making all things new. Making all things new. Once again, I welcome all those who are joining us. If you're just joining, go ahead in the chat and say hi, and just bless you. And there's a poll question, just asking, how often do you think about eternity? Revelation 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Restore, making all things new. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to gather together in your presence on one accord at this moment of time, breaking the bread of your word together. God, we pray that you will do for us all that you purpose to do. Help us to see you more clearly, to see ourselves more clearly in you. God, it's not about me or any one of us who is represented here today. It is all about you. Please hide me behind your cross. God, there is no good word that I can speak. There's no eloquence of speech that I can have that will do any eternal good. But God, your word, your living word, your Holy Spirit, your preached word, let it accomplish all that you purpose to accomplish, even in spite of me. God, do all that you purpose to do in this place for your glory, for the edification of your people. We thank you so much. We are humbled by this opportunity on today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. John received this revelation and by written letter provided it to the churches, initially to seven churches on the western end of Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. Jesus reveals visions to John so that God's church will be aware of what is happening now and in the future, scholars say. Jesus reveals and so confirms that, as one scholar put it, although evil appears to triumph, God remains on the throne. And isn't that good news this morning? Even though as we look all around us and at the horrific things that are happening and that it appears that evil triumphs, God remains on the throne. Jesus reveals these visions to John. And many of the early church understood this to be the Apostle John, the original disciple who walked with Jesus. You might recall that before Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples, the apostles, asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So Jesus has gone to the cross, died, buried, rose again on the third day, and he showed himself to his disciples. And now he is about to ascend to heaven to be seated on the right hand of the Father. And God is telling them, Jesus is telling them about these things and giving them instructions. And the disciples jump in and say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? The disciples may have expected a political fulfillment to God's kingdom. And so this question comes, will you restore the kingdom at this time? The apostles in that moment had two challenges that relate very much to challenges that I sometimes have today. They were looking for divine restoration and two challenges. One, their scope was too small. They were thinking about the kingdom of Israel. And two, their timeline was too narrow. They were looking for it to happen today. Now, God's vision, it is true, included, but it was bigger than the Israelite people. Hence me and hence some of you who have come to faith through Jesus Christ. And God's vision, it is true, included, but it was longer than their specific lifetime. And I know for myself and that for some of you, life today can be trying. Can we tell the truth? Over the course of living, in a fallen world, in a world that is ravished by sin, that is rebounding from the sinful act of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we experience, and even sometimes we cause, or maybe I'll say sometimes I cause, setbacks and disappointments, hurts, loss, defeats, pains, physical ailments, missed opportunities. And when we live for Christ, we suffer persecution. Well, today I encourage you, in order to pace yourself, in order to gain your second wind in your race of faith, to expand your vision and expand your timeline. I'll say it again. I encourage you today, in order to pace yourself, to gain your second wind in your race of faith, to expand your vision and to expand your timeline. What an important revelation this was and is that John received and is recorded in the book of Revelation. The Apostle John, in particular, for when he receives this revelation, it is important to him in that John is in and on an island, Patmos. He is in exile for his faith. And it's important to me personally today, and perhaps for you today, for times when life is trying and we are tempted to lose hope, Jesus has provided us this revelation. We know that when the end shall be, when I recognize what the end shall be, I live differently. When I recognize what the end shall be, I mourn and I grieve differently. When I recognize what the end shall be, I plan differently. I decide more strategically because I know what the end shall be. When I know that at the end, that there begins eternal life, anew with Jesus Christ, I become more courageous in my hope. I become bolder in my faith. I further resolve that this current lifetime that I am living today is not the end of the story, but indeed eternity waits for me. I believe the Apostle John in 1 John 3:2, that behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the words of the Apostle Paul are held as true for our reunion in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in parts, but then I shall know just as also I am known. Referring to a day when Jesus comes and all will be complete. A few verses above, for we know in parts and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. There is a time of eternity after Jesus' return, Jesus' second coming, when God will make all things new. From our opening text, we see that creation is restored. We see that God and his people are united, and the consequences of sin are no more. Death has been defeated. And this is good news. The revelation of eternity and the restoration of all things being made new, it is good news because it gives us substance for faith. And it helps us to run the race with endurance. Because we don't just run and live. We run and we live in light of eternity. We understand through Jesus Christ that all things will be made new. How can this be? Because, one, God's love is unfailing. Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. God's love is unfailing. We also know this because God demonstrates his love in that Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ compensates God for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:22, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God restores Jesus to Jesus' position of glory, making restitution to Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:8-9, and being found in appearance as man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But he didn't stay there under sin. It says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. How can this be? Because God does not remember our sin. Isaiah gives us the message for God in 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And as we live unto God, unashamedly calling on the name of Jesus and furthering Christ's mission, and so bringing glory to Christ's name, God repays, God makes good, God compensates us on our sacrifices for the gospel. When the disciples asked, see Jesus, we left all and followed you. Jesus replied as recorded in Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. As we live in a fallen world, what helps us to run with endurance the race that is set before us? What helps us is our faith. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for. Our faith is the evidence of things not seen, that we are told in Hebrews 11:1. It says that our foreparents or our elders in the faith, interestingly, in Hebrews 11:13, it says that these all died in faith. The goal is to keep the faith. Pay not so much attention to when it is your time to die. Just understand that Jesus is coming back soon. And our goal right now is just to abide in faith. I pray to God that it might be my testimony that no matter what happens to me and no matter what I endure, that they can say, well, Orlando died in faith. He continued in faith. And no matter what happened, if I stay here until Jesus returned or I die and I see him after that, let it be the testimony that I kept my faith. And it says of these believers that these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. To get your second wind, to run the race with endurance, keep an eternal perspective by faith. Keep an eternal perspective by faith. Look at what the message was to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. It gives us an eternal perspective and we hold on to it by faith. So that as these believers died in faith, it says that they confessed, that they were assured of them, the promises of God, and that they confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I close by reading the note of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Corinth and even to us today. We remind ourselves from what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more, exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this physical body is destroyed, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. I invite Lady Rochelle forward to lead us in our song, We've Come This Far By Faith. If we're going to come far, it's going to be by faith. Not in the things which are seen, which are temporary, but in the things which are unseen, which are eternal. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much that through the gift of Scripture, through the revelation that Jesus provided John, we are able to know what the end shall be. We are able to know that even though things may be going awry right now, you yet remain on the throne. And in the end, you win. And God, we hold on to our faith, just recognizing that you are yet on the throne. And that this life is not the only life, but that there is an eternal life waiting for us, waiting for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, God, we thank you so very much on today, that we do not have to depend on so much that happens right now. That all of our confidence is not resting on this moment. It's true. We will live this moment unto you. We will declare your name. We will sacrifice for the name of Jesus to bring glory to you, to bring many people into the kingdom of God, and recognizing that this is not the final moment. But we look to a greater moment of your Son's second return. And we look for the time where we can be together with you in heaven on that new earth and with that new heaven and the new Jerusalem, where there won't be weeping, there won't be crying and mourning and death, but you will have restored us. God, you make all things new. And by faith, we live and we move, and we just understand that it's because of you, all sovereign God, all powerful, all knowing, every place at the same time, that we can have confidence in the life to come. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And as is our tradition here at BK, we are going to sing This Far By Faith, for God certainly has brought us this far, and it's only by faith and only by his hand. Trusting in
family, we are so just overjoyed by God and his hand upon our life and just the opportunity to be with him this morning. It is a blessing to be with you and to worship with you. And during this time, we just pray and just recognize that God sees you, God knows where you are, and he wants you to be confident in him, that in the end, we win in Jesus Christ. And we just pray right now, God, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. God, we thank you for your word. We also thank you for the songs that you put into the hearts of men and women, dear Lord, where we can remind ourselves of who you are and remind ourselves of the praise we want to give you and also remind ourselves of the faith with which we walk through this life. God, I pray for each and every soul represented in here today under the sound of my voice. God, I pray for each and every household represented today. And I pray that you will bless them, that you will make your spirit tangible to them, even now in the name of Jesus. Give them reminders all throughout today, but even throughout this week, just helping them to see and to know that they are with you. God, we thank you so much for who you are. And family, it is so wonderful to be with you. I thank you for all those who have signed on for this little bit of time of corporate praise and worship. I'm going to go to the hospitality booth. If you guys want to come there and say hi to each other, feel free to do so. Have a blessed day today for the rest of the day and also a blessed week. We thank you for all things. Have a wonderful day. Bless you, family. We love you and we cheer for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.